Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo and we're going to be talking business today. We are in an economy where many, many people are deciding. They've lost their jobs. They want to go into business for themselves. Well, business is hard work. And lots of times people have misconceptions if they've been employees thinking, gee, I could do this better than so-and-so. Well, maybe they could, but do they really know what it's going to take to make that business successful? My guest today, Ruth King, has a book put together, The Ugly Truth About Small Business, Never Saw It Coming, 50 Things That Can Go Wrong and What You Can Do About It. Now, this is important. You can do something about it. So, forewarned is forearmed. Right, Ruth?
That's correct, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a delight. Now, you have owned 7 different businesses yourself. I'm surprised your hair isn't pure white.
It's close.
It's close, okay. And you are an owner-partner of Pro Network TV, which is an internet television station on the businesstvchannel.com. And you speak all over the country. Give us a little bit of your background. What was your first taste of, gee, I want to be an entrepreneur?
Well, actually, the first taste was actually when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I got bitten by the bug. Instead of doing newspapers, because that wasn't around for women, I sold flowers that I picked out of our yard on our front lawn, and people would stop and buy them, and I absolutely loved it. So I was kind of hooked when I was 7 or 8. So I knew at that point I was going to have my own business.
Now, how did your parents react to that? Did your mother, did she get upset because you took the roses off of the rose bushes?
No, actually she didn't. She was very good about that, as a matter of fact. And my father, had his own business, so he was like, yeah, go for it. Not in those words, but, very encouraging to a kid.
That is marvelous. Now, here you are when you were younger doing this, and you knew that you were going to have a business of your own, and your dad was an entrepreneur. When did you belong to Junior Achievement? We have so many wonderful things for young people that lots of times families don't even know are available for young people to learn about how to manage money and to work with it and to become a business person. Were you a part of something like Junior Achievement? Did they have it at the time you were in school?
They probably did, but I didn't know about it. Despite my father liking me to want to own my own business, he expected me to be a doctor. And I would own one of those types of businesses in the medical practice. So that was his way of pushing me into the medical field, which I never ended up doing. I'm a chemical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up as a chemical engineer, decided I absolutely didn't want to go to med school, broke his heart when I was 19 years old. And started out in engineering and loved it, working with it, and then got out in the real world and hated
mm-hmm.
it. So
mm-hmm.
went back to school, got my MBA, and started a small business development center in Decatur, Georgia, back in 1981, which is still going today. And for people who are thinking about starting, it is a wonderful place to get resources. They will help you put together business plans. They will help you with marketing things. If you get a really good counselor, they'll ask you the tough questions about, bring you into reality versus the pie in the sky type things. And a lot of the things that they'll talk to you about in making you do a business plan are really critical.
What is the name of the company again?
It's the Small Business Development Centers. SBA. It's an SBA program. They're just about in almost, I think they're in every state now.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was there, we were a pilot project in 1981. We didn't even know whether it was going to be there anymore. And it grew and it grew and it was very successful and has helped a whole lot of people, for 30 years now, just about,
mm-hmm.
helping them start and grow businesses. And for everybody who wants to start, I send them there. Because you'll get a better dose of reality than paying somebody to tell you the truth.
And every industry, basic business is basic business, but every industry has its idiosyncrasies. And I think of a catalog that we received that my husband, because he's involved in manufacturing, they have 110,000 or 500,000 items they deal with. And I just thought of that and I went, oh my goodness, how do you keep track of your inventory, blah, 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 all of these various things. I'm just looking at this catalog, which is a microscopic sample, basically, of what they have.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go in to some of the components. This little book is a powerhouse. How long did it take you to compile the stories of the people that you have in this book?
Actually, about a month.
Wow, that's a short period of time.
Yes, I had always wanted to write this book. It was originally called Entrepreneurial Terror, but it was right around the time of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnes & Noble's and Border said they would not support the book with the word terror in it, so we changed the title, which turned out well because I've got a sequel that's been published and we're working on a third book in that area too. But I had gone to the Booksellers Expo, which is the one show per year, the second week in June, that all the editors and all of the publishers go to meet all the people who are bookstore owners and
right.
people who are aspiring. And I had a proposal and three of the stories written. Well, come out of there, and I had three proposals from three different publishers, and all of them wanted the book July 1.
Wow.
So I spent the entire month of June writing. I sent an email to the top 250 chambers of commerce in the United States and asked for stories, and they started pouring in. It was just amazing. You know, every entrepreneur thinks that they're alone. They're not.
Yes.
They're mm-hmm. not. We are definitely not alone. You know, we all have had 15 cents in our checking accounts when we had to make payroll, or we missed payroll, or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. We all have these stories. We've all gone through it. You know, sometimes it's really just hard to say, hey, I need some help, or I just need a shoulder to cry on, or somebody just to listen to me and tell me, okay, what are you going to do about it, rather than cry back.
Right. And I think that is something that for those of you who are in business for yourself, who are listening to this, and you're saying, oh, groan, it's so tough today. We are in a very, very difficult cycle. There are businesses in various cities that I've seen close down. The economy, the ripple down effect is real. If it's not there, you don't get it. If you're in a luxury kind of a business, you've got a challenge because people are going to be concerned about certain basics. I was talking with someone this morning. The building industry in their area is dead in the water. They are very, very concerned about how are they going to make it. They supply certain materials and
sure.
It's thinking out of the box, and it's a very stressful period. Let's talk about something that a lot of people have experienced, but it's like, gee, when I do this, I'm never going to let anybody know that I made this horrible, horrible mistake, buying the wrong business. It's the very first story in your book, and Bob Bree, who is the CEO of the Total Computer Systems, submitted this story. Tell us about Bob and his horrendous loss or wrong company.
Well, actually, it started out horrendous, but it ended up really good. Most people, when they go and think that they're going to buy a business rather than, you know, they believe what the business owners are telling them. I have like 124 due diligence questions that you should ask, and I'd be happy to give that to anybody who wants it if they want to go buy a business. But Bob found a business and he didn't do his due diligence right and found out all these lawsuits and found out all the things that were going on that, you know, all these things kept appearing after he bought the business and sheriffs would come to his door and everything else like that. And he got through all of it and, you know, he ended up with an investment from his CPA. And they finally figured out what to do and how to do it and everything else like that. And grew the business and wanted to buy a CPA out, and the CPA said, okay. And met him to buy the business out, and the CPA signed over the stock to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really cool angel type story.
Mm-hmm.
about what had happened there. And, you know, Bob was almost emotional when he was telling me the story. because he still, you know, to this day, he, you know, thanks him and everything along those lines. But, you know, a lot of times out of really desperation and really tough times come some really cool things and some really good things. And I think that's a story that shows it.
Absolutely. Now, Lamar Lawrence talks about losing money fast. A lot of people are experiencing that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Lamar. He has a business called Partner TMBG Inc.
Mm-hmm. Well, what Lamar did, they bought a franchise, is what they ended up doing. And it was a very seasonal franchise. And they didn't realize it the first year, and instead of just cutting everything off when the season was over, they tried to find additional things that they could do in the off season, so to speak, and they ended up losing their shirt.
Wow.
And they learned by the second year and ended up being profitable the second year, but he had a very wise person who just says, no, we're not putting any more money into this. We're cutting our losses. We're going by, you know, and we're just going to shut down. We'll make a deal with our landlord, which they did, and they made a deal with the phone company, which they did, and those types of things so that they could survive to the next busy season. So they laid everybody off. They cut everything out, and they just kind of, you know, went into hibernation, so to speak, until the next busy season came.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they learned. They were just losing money so fast. They just had to put a line in the sand and says, we can't do this. It's not working. Let's do what we did best and what we bought this franchise for. And as a result of that, they were profitable the second year, and then the third year they were even more profitable. And they learned just to bank it at the end of the, you know, the busy season rather than trying to do something else.
Now, that's very smart. I knew mm-hmm. of a woman that went into a business, and her business was definitely seasonal. It was the holiday season, poinsettias, and gift baskets and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she had someone, fortunately, that worked with her on it. It took her about 3 years to put her plan together and her orientation, but she had wanted to do some kind of a business where she only had to work maybe 6 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, it was really tough going. She didn't make any real money for the first 2 years, but she broke even. And she finally figured out what she needed to do, and she realized that she needed to add on an extra 2 months in her working time to build up the orders that she needed to fill, so that when it hit, when she had to be delivering, because she was working with corporations and various groups,
mm-hmm.
she was able then to perform more efficiently. And she had a nice business, and so it got to be she didn't have 6 months off a year, but she had 4 months off a year. And
that's
she was
fun.
Thrilled.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's even one that's even more seasonal, that the brokers or the people who actually sell Christmas trees.
Right.
I mean, think about how short their season is.
Right. And they have to have a big plan really
mm-hmm.
into place, because they need to be able to have the tree farms. They have to have the crews to be able to go in and cut down those trees that are ready for market. And then you just have this repetitious cycle. You have to find your sites. And sometimes I know on our part of the country, some of those sites that they used to enjoy, they're no longer there. They're no longer available to them. So you have all of this that needs to be worked through. And what I like about your book, Ruth, is that you have so many various examples in here of people, different circumstances. But one of them that really grabbed me was the guy, Franz Simici. And he's actually in my part of the country, Woodinville, Washington, and his company is CEO Ioline Corporation. This guy was accustomed to dealing with whopping big numbers.
Yeah, he was a Fortune 50.
Whoa! I mean, mm-hmm. this is unreal. Tell us his story.
Well, he became the reluctant entrepreneur, so to speak, really, actually. Yeah, he had a bunch of partners and everything else like that. And he was a very interesting character entrepreneur to interview, because he wanted to know why I wanted to write this book. Why was it so important to write this book? And I said, because it's a book of hope. It's us saying to the world that, gee, here are the mistakes we made. We are telling you about our mistakes so that you don't make these. Save your sleepless nights. Save your, you know, your money and those types of things. So, you know, the ugly truth about small business is really a story of hope. Just don't do the mistakes that we did. And all of us in here are sharing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a story in a second. But you'll notice when you read the book, Donna, The Ugly Truth About Small Business has no famous names in there.
Mm-hmm.
These
mm-hmm.
are all everyday people who've gone through the same things as entrepreneurs are going through all of the time.
Right. So. And that's important. Because there are very few Donald Trumps in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We only need one anyway. And there's very few of the others in the world. It's very, very important that we pay attention to these things because it is that entrepreneur, that middle-class business person, the small business people that run the pizza parlors, massage, nail shops, business supplies, they are important. They're the backbone of this nation's economy, of any nation's economy. And we want to make sure that they have the support that they need. So let's go into this because the numbers that are mentioned in this story, I mean, I think I'd get gray hair within an hour and a half dealing with these numbers because we're not talking about 1,000 here or 50,000 or maybe 150,000. Jeez, he wrote off a debt of $545,000 as soon as he took over this business.
Yes, he did. And you know, the thing about it was that there was something there, and he looks at it and says, okay, you know, I don't want to do this, you know, and finally he gets begged to, you know, make me an offer, and he actually did. And the thing that he ended up doing is he knew that there was a niche market that they could get into that made sense, that they could make money. And that was the key because he found, I think, the missing link that they never saw,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he's somebody from the outside who'd been, you know, managing Fortune 50 companies with, you know, billions of dollars of budgets. And here he goes down to small businesses. And he, in the beginning, signed every check. He would not let a dollar go in there. If there was a $50 check to write, he wrote it. I mean, he signed it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I even use in my work today that helped, and I do a lot of work with heating and air contractors over the years, is I tell them, he went to the floor and said, how many of you want to make an extra $20? And they all, you know, everybody raises their hands, and he started picking up the parts off the floor. And they really realized how much waste there was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's a lot of the things that you just don't see on the day-to-day. You're looking at the trees rather than the forest. He was a forest-type person rather than a tree-type person.
Mm-hmm.
But he was detailed enough to be able to do the trees when he had to. He recognized a niche that they could go into, you know, got rid of all the other products that they didn't really need, you know, slashed, as you said, lost, you know, close to $1 million. When he started it, and then he grew it. And I haven't talked to him in the past couple of years since this the recession, but he had not had a quarter that was not profitable except for one in about 15 years.
One of the points that he makes is that he would never want to go back to being involved with a Fortune 50 company.
Mm-hmm.
He's very pleased that he did this. He grew through it. And at the time that he did this story, there were only 6 of the 90 employees that used to be at the company. There were only 6 that were still there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said the annualized return of the people that had invested in the company was at 33%. And that is an incredible accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, and it takes somebody who's willing to say, okay, I see something, even though this company is losing every, you know, is lost a lot of money, there is one way that we can revive the company and, you know, tighten our belts, focus all of our efforts and energy on this particular product and do some really good things for our investors who are investing and going with the plan. I had a very similar situation that this person refused to be in this book. So I won't tell you the whole story, but I started working with him when they had a negative $400,000 net worth. That means mm-hmm. to close the company, they would have had to pay $400,000. I mean,
ouch.
That, you know, negative there. And it took us a couple of years to get him out and get him profitable, but 15 years later, he is still profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tough. You have to have a group of people who are willing to make the changes and the radical changes necessary, as well as the vendors and creditors who are willing to work with you. You know, Frank puts the thing in there about the plan and following the plan and make sure you follow the plan. That is absolutely key, whether or not you're starting your business, whether you're taking a business over that is, in trouble or something along those lines, or you're investing in a business. You've got to have a plan and you got to follow the plan.
Well, don't you think too, Ruth, with plans, this has been my experience, with plans, you can have the best laid plans and then life happens. And all of a sudden, the plan has to be adjusted.
Yep.
So you need to have, I think, and this is my bias, I think you have to, as an entrepreneur, be willing to roll. When it's time to drop and roll into a new direction, you want to keep your basic whatever it is that you're aiming for. You don't want to lose sight of that. But you've got to adapt and adjust. We've got a lot of business people today who are just panicky. I know of a cabinet maker in the state of Virginia who, this man has had a marvelous business. It has been such a blessing. It took him years to build it up. I mean, the quality of things that he's got is incredible. Bam, this recession hit. Things going in the toilet. He had to let go of almost all of his employees. His wife, fortunately, was experienced enough and was able to come in and to help. Mm-hmm. He's working all of this time. I mean, they had to get lean and mean, and it broke his heart. He didn't want to lay off people, but he had to do it.
You had to. You have to. There's a thing called SWOT, which is strengths, opportunities, and threats. And always do a SWOT analysis. What happens? You know, there's like a plan B and a plan C.
Mm-hmm.
If this happens, then we go to plan B. If this happens, we go to plan C. And, you know, strengths and weaknesses are things that you have that are internal to your company that you have control over. Opportunities and threats are external. We had no control over this economy.
Right.
What are we going to do, you know, if the economy hits here or if I lose this number of customers or this cash flow goes to Y? You have to have plans in place for that. And, you know, it's funny because I teach the Ugly Truth About Small Businesses used in an entrepreneurial class in the University of Wisconsin. And at the end of every semester, I let all the kids, which they are at that point, ask any question that they'd like. And last time I did it last fall, the professor emailed me back and said, thank you for telling them to fail early and fail well. They all read this book and believed that none of these things would happen to them. And, of course, everything in that book, you know, most of it will happen to you at some point in time.
Right, right. And what I think is important is to develop links with people. So many people that are entrepreneurial, they're very individualistic. They're, I'm going to do it. They're willing to spend that 16, 18 hours a day to make something happen. What they don't realize is that you need to have associates that you can interact with. And you need people who are professionals, who have been around the block a few times. There's just so many that are out there that will be willing to help you and want to see you succeed. We have so much fear that someone's going to take something from us. And I know there's that aspect of competitors. But if you can find good mentors that understand the difficulties of business, not Aunt Faye that says, oh, well, you're just going to be fine.
Yeah.
No, you're dealing with issues. You're dealing with things that you can't sleep at night because you maybe will have to fire, if you have 20 employees, you may have to fire 15 on Monday. You can't wait till Friday. You're going to have to fire them on Monday. It's a life and an environment that has so many variables.
Right. If you remember Victoria Kam's story, she had to fire 183 people in one day because one of the federal rules and regulations changed on July 1st of 1 year.
And oh, my goodness.
She let go 80% of her workforce. I mean, it was just incredible. It took her 10 years to come out of it. But she knew immediately that that product was no longer going to be available. The rules had changed, and she made the right decision at the right time, as painful as it was. She had to do it, otherwise she would have been out of business, and she had to build her business back, and the good news is that they sold it about 4 years ago, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a reasonable price, but it took them 10 years to pay everybody back.
Now that's commitment. That's real commitment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, too, that you bring out here, which is always a big one, and that is trust. You've got to pay attention to the books. You've got to be able to understand what's going on, because I've heard this story. I can't tell you how many times of radio stations I've heard about it with various businesses, somebody embezzling money.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen it with insurance companies. You've got a story in here about a trusted bookkeeper. And man, oh, man, oh, man, let's talk about this because it is important.
A very wise person once said to me, the role of the good embezzler is to become the trusted bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And it sent chills up my spine when I did that, and I found a story about this. I mean, this was a little old lady, and she was everybody's friend. She was everybody's buddy. She brought food in. She, you know, listened to everybody and, ah, poor baby, and things like that. Everybody loved her. She had every excuse in the book why the books couldn't be and her financial statements couldn't be done by the, you know, 15th of the month. You know, there were computer problems here, computer problems there. And she was in control of the money. And when, you know, she started paying her bills with it and basically taking company money for her personal bills and just, you know, absconding with money. And they finally realized what happened and they were shocked. They were absolutely shocked. The only thing that saved that company is that she never had check writing authority. And I would recommend this to any entrepreneur. You never, ever give your bookkeeper check writing authority. Because had they done that, the bank would have said, hey, she had check writing authority. She could have written any check she wanted.
That's right.
So he who balances the checkbook does not get check writing authority.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to always do is have your bank statements sent home.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can see them first before you bring them to the bookkeeper.
Yes. And that is very, very important because bookkeeping is mandatory with any business. Mm-hmm. You've got to know where the money is going and you need to be having the accountability there. But that is something that is well worth sharing. Well, I know we're coming to the point where we're running out of time, Ruth. Your book is a powerhouse. It is loaded with wonderful, wonderful stories and, you know, somebody losing 25% of their business in one day, getting sick, couldn't run their business, customers not paying, all kinds of things that you can have that, well, it may make you think twice about doing a business of your own, but you say, oh, I don't care, I'm a toughie, I can do it. Congratulations. Welcome to the world of business. It is going to be an adventure. You're going to have some wonderful things to share, but I guarantee you, you're going to need a lot of Kleenex at times, too.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to weep and wail, and you need to have maybe a section of your office that's called the wailing wall, because there will be those moments.
Yes.
But regardless, the entrepreneur is a unique person. It's a person that's not afraid to take risks, and again, they're the backbone of any nation. And they need to be respected. But more than anything else, you need to know that you're not alone and that there are those people that can help you. And it makes for the privileges of freedom, makes that opportunity stay in place because you're free thinkers, you're individuals, and you're not afraid to work together as a team if it's required. So my hat's off to entrepreneurs. I have a great deal of respect for them because I know what it takes being one myself. Ruth, what is your website that people can go to find out more about what you've published and also your programming?
They can go to www.theuglytruthaboutsmallbusiness.com, which is the name of the book. The website is exactly the same thing.
Okay, theuglytruthaboutsmallbusiness.com. Mm-hmm. Ruth, it has been a joy having you. Do you have a quick thought you'd like to leave my audience with before we say goodbye?
Absolutely. It's an absolutely wonderful adventure. And if you fail, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going. You will eventually succeed.
I agree. It is out there, and the ups and downs, they are going to be there. Economies rise and fall, but it's those that have the heart, the willingness, and the dedication that are going to make it work. And it is an adventure. You're going to find lots of things occurring at all times. There's never a dull moment. Ruth King, thank you again for being my guest. The Ugly Truth About smallbusiness.com is her website, and I encourage you to get your book. Hey, it makes for great reading. If you're flying or doing anything, it's a good thing. And if you know someone that's going into business, give them this as a gift. They may laugh. laugh when they see the cover, but you just say, laugh away. Keep it handy. You may need it. Ruth, again, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. The telephone lines are now open. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call in to. 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And then, if you so desire, you're welcome to ask a question after I give the information to you. So again, 888-815-9756. And if we have time today, I'm going to be sharing a yummy recipe with you. But I did want to mention a couple of things. One, there is information that's going to be coming up regarding the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, and that's going to be coming up in my newsletter. And for those of you that got an email from me regarding my radio show appearance on Dark Matters with Dawn Eckert, well, it's tonight. I goofed, and I think I put in the email. By the time I was able to send it out yesterday, it was sort of late, but I thought it was last night, but I was wrong. It's tonight, and I'm going to be on with Dawn for 2 hours from 10 until noon. So if you have an opportunity, you'd like to listen to the show. Dawn Eckert was a former police officer. He has been an investigator and has had a phenomenal background relative to the paranormal. And so he's been involved with research and investigation relative to the topic for a lot of years. So we're going to be talking, we'll be taking phone calls. I don't have the call-in number to the show, but if you go to darkmatters.com, you will find out all of the information. That is his blog. You'll see my picture there and the information about the show. And I know we've got a caller, but let me complete this. And then also, you will go to the particular station that is mentioned there. There's a link on his blog right to the show. So that is something, I think it's cyberstationusa.com, but go to his blog, which is darkmatters.com. www.thedonnacibo.com, and you'll get all of the information regarding the show tonight. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Linda. I'm calling from Florida.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Hi there. I was listening to the show today, and you know what? It doesn't always have to be in business, Donna. I had it right in my family, but it made me wiser.
I trust his family.
Mm-hmm. It's
bad. Mm-hmm.
So,
there are just so many things, Linda, that relating to business that really do have. This little book is worth its weight in gold, The Ugly Truth About Small Business, mm-hmm. being the fact that it can also, there's a lot of things in there relative to personal experience, just like you said. There are things that you have to learn, and it can be very painful, but if you're wise, you just gird yourself up and put on your hiking, moving boots, and you say, okay, now I got to get the show on the road.
Yes, be a victim instead of a victor. Be a victor instead of a victim is what I tell myself, but it is very, very painful. It's very painful.
It is. It is, because you go through all kinds of vacillations. You wonder, gee whiz, could I done something different? Did I do something wrong? What was I not paying attention to? We all do it. And the key is that you look at it and hold yourself accountable for certain things, and what you weren't responsible for, you say, okay, but don't get into the blame game. And that's in business, that's in personal life, and I love what you say, be the victor, don't be the victim. I really like that, Linda. That's a very, very good statement to make, but Ruth's book is a powerful
one. It makes you feel strong, Donna. It
mm-hmm.
makes you feel strong just thinking about it. It's such a good mantra.
I agree, and thank you for sharing it with me. Did you have a question for me today, Linda?
Yes, the other day I was actually going to a retreat, and I wanted to speak to you before I went in, and I got disconnected because I really value what you have to say. Donna, I know everything's going to be okay for me as far as finance and everything else in 2010. I really believe that. But I'm not so sure about romance. There's somebody I'm interested in, but I don't know if I should let go or if I should just, you know, be patient and see what unfolds with this person. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think you have to be an either-or with this situation. What's the initial of the gentleman you're interested in?
P.
Okay. With P, what I would say is he's not what I'd call the marrying kind, and that's okay. But he's someone you could have fun with. With P, you're the one that's going to set the boundaries. And I would keep him at arm's length. I wouldn't try to make this a super romantic. I wouldn't want to make it into a Cinderella story in my imagination. I just look at this person. He is a nice individual. He really is not the type that would make a good partner for anybody at this time. Even with all of his experience and what he's gone through, sometimes there are just those people. They're better off when you can just cultivate the associations with them. There might be the physical attraction or what have you, but I think you need to make it okay that it is what it is, and don't try to make it more or less than what it is. And don't say no to anybody else calling you and asking you for a date, or if you had a chance to do certain activities with somebody else, go do them. But don't build your world around a single person. That's a mistake. What you're doing this year in 2010 is really finding out more about what your priorities are and how to be assertive for yourself with those priorities, and whoever comes in the interim, that's wonderful. Enjoy their company. But don't try to make a commitment. You are stuck in thinking that this is really something that you're supposed to do to get what you want. And I want to say, get off the hunt. It's okay to stay aware. Have you ever observed how many times in life, you have achieved more when you've been relaxed about the whole thing?
Yes. Yes.
I would say that is something you need to keep in mind. there won't be much in the way of questioning. I know one of the biggest things I'll hear, and this is more from women than from men, but women will say, oh, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. And I understand that. But loneliness is a catalyst. It is meant to make you participate in life, not retreat from it. The loneliness indicates a need for you to become more aware of who you are and what it is that you want in your life. And interestingly enough, those that wail the loudest about, I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely, they get a warm body, and the next thing they're saying, how do I get rid of this body? How do I get rid of this body? It just, you know, they can't win for losing. So it's important.
I understand.
Yeah, so it's important for you to, one, make the determination. Do you actually want a partner? Do you want to be married? That's not a bad word, being married. You have to ask yourself what you want. I've known men and women both that say, I want to have a companion. I want to have someone that would be like a partner, but I do not want to live with them. I do not want to be married. And that's okay. They have set those parameters, and eventually they found someone that they have really enjoyed the company of, and both of them have felt the same way, and they've been perfectly content that way. It's not good or bad. There are others that realize, gee, I really want a commitment. I want someone that I can have in my world that I'm totally focused on, and that we share things together, we live together, we're going to go through the ups and downs of life together. I want to be there for that person. That person wants to be there for me. We want to get married. That's good. But when you have the commitment, you need to be able to look at yourself as a human being and your failings and your shortcomings and your positive points and appreciate them. And you also need to be able to look at that in the other person and realize that that is what you're going to have. There's no such thing as a perfect person. And you don't have to compromise for junk either. You can have the quality, and that's what you need to focus on, is the quality of character, personality, and, you know, due diligence. What age do you want them to be? How dependable do you want them? You know, you need to have to ask those specifics.
Well, that's what I've been doing, Donna, because I understand what you're saying, because I see that in a lot of males and females. When they're waiting for somebody, they become non-existent. That's why I'm getting involved with hospice, hoping to find a part-time job, working in the home, whatever. And if this comes in my life, it will be a blessing. But if it doesn't, it doesn't make me stop living.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good attitude.
I understand what you're I agree with you totally what you're saying, because I did it myself in the past. I've been accused of that. So I think when people say they're lonely, they're just not really interested in life, because there's really a lot to get involved with. Get involved with volunteer work, anything, but keep the mind active and the heart open to other mm-hmm. things, not just
and
a
you
mate.
Never know. You never, never know where that person is going to come into your life. I love the stories that I've got a very dear friend. She was in her 80s. Her husband had passed away, and she was working part-time as a manager in an apartment complex. And this gentleman had lived in the complex for years. So just like Margie and her husband had for years. They never met each other. Well, as it turns out, his wife died. And he happens to walk into this office, and she's sitting there, and they chat a little bit. And then one day comes in, he said, may I take you to have a cup of coffee? She said, sure. They got married 6 months later. Happy as they can be.
Those stories. See, I love it.
But Donna, he's in her 80s.
I love hearing those stories.
Yeah, she's in her 80s, and people say, nah, can't happen. You know, it's like, gee whiz, you're over the hill. Let me tell you something. This lady is one foxy lady, and she is a sweetheart. She's in her 90s now. She is a doll. Her husband is younger than her by about 10 years, but she's in better health than he is. And it's just a joy to see them. They're wonderful. He's intelligent. He's active. So is she. They are wonderful together. She said she never knew she could be so happy. So I know we've got to go to break, hon, in just a few seconds, but thank you for calling, because there's some good points we've been able to share today.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure listening to the show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in, the telephone worldwide number that you can get through to is 888-815-9756. Oh, now, by the way, If you have a personal story regarding the paranormal, out-of-body, dreams, astral projection, which is saying the same as out-of-body, isn't it? I'm being a little redundant there. Whatever your paranormal experience may have been, seeing spooks, whatever, I don't care, send me the story. I'm putting a book together. We are trying to collect about 100 stories, and we'll want your contact information in case the publisher wants to be sure that we have release form signed by you. But I'm putting this material together, and I'd love to hear your story in your own words. And send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com, or you can send it via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show at P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. I'd love to hear your story, because we probably will put it in a book. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. We're going to be back right after this.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Don't forget, this evening I am going to be on the Don Eckert Show, and it is going to be a fascinating, fascinating program. I'm going to be the guest for 2 hours. It's called Dark Matters. Now, Don had his show for a number of years, and he's had just a lot of people from around the world. In fact, last night he had Dr. Klein, who's going to be on with me this Friday, in fact, and he was talking about reincarnation. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about Saved by a Poem by Kim Rosen. But on Friday, we're going to be talking about reincarnation. So I heard Dr. Klein on Don's show, and I'm pleased to be invited to be a guest on this wonderful program. But when you have someone that has had a background as an investigator and has been involved in police work, who by nature would be cynical about a lot of things, this is the kind of person that really is good, because you are able then to discuss things in an intelligent way, in an intelligent manner. Now, I do not have the call-in phone number, but and it'll be from 10 to 12 Pacific time, so that is 11 to 1 Mountain time, and of course 12 to 2 Central, and then 3 to 5 on the East Coast. So you just know that those are the time frames. But go to darkmatters.com and you'll get to his blog. You'll find out all about him, about the guests that he has on, including me this week, and you'll find out how to go to the connection to the station. It's right there in his blog, and you'll be able to get to wherever you need to go. All right, and if you want to call me, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you some information, and this is, what did I do with it? This is about a particular star, and it's so amazing to me. Oh, here it is. I found it. It's called the Dogon, D-O-G-O-N, and the Dog Star. Now, there was a new star, and this goes back into the 1800s. On January 31st in 1862, a new star, Sirius B, was observed through a researcher's telescope. The researcher's name was Alvin Clark, and it was a star that was called the Dogon. Now, the reason it was given that name is because there were some people, some tribes people in Africa, who lived in caves that had known about the star for hundreds and hundreds of years. The scientific community didn't know about it, but they had known about it. Now, in 1840, there were Dogon priests that were brought into contact with two French anthropologists, and they were amazed to find that there was this phenomenal amount of celestial information that had been passed down through this grouping of African people for they don't know how long. All they know is it was oral tradition, and it was very, very detailed, and the Dogon was known to this group of Africans. Now, they used symbols and patterns that were scratched into the dirt, and the anthropologists recorded everything. And they had an ancient tribal star map. And the Dogons conveyed to these anthropologists and scientists absolutely accurate astronomical information that was way, way back, knowledge of the heavens, they said, from a time previous to Galileo even inventing the telescope. They knew all about it. Something going on there? Well, they also told these researchers that there was a dwarf star that they called Po Tolo. Now, you couldn't see it with the naked eye. They weren't able to actually photograph the star. They found it, finally, in 1970. Now, these people were amazing. They knew the density. The cubic meter weighs about 20,000 tons. They knew its temperature and its size. And what the scientists were just, it just became more and more amazing. They also knew, the Dogon people did, that Sirius B rotated on its own axis, had an elliptical orbit, and took 50 years to travel around Sirius A. These people also tell of another star orbiting Sirius A at right angles to Sirius B. We've yet to discover it. The astronomers haven't been able to find it. Now, in the tradition of this ancient culture, they believed that Sirius B was the first star made by God, as they say, and that it gave birth to all other matter and souls in the universe by a very complex spiral movement. Now, can you imagine sitting and talking with people that are living in caves? You've got this college education, and you think you know so much, and here are these people giving you all of these details, drawing stuff in the dirt, very matter-of-factual, and you're going, huh? That'd be quite an experience, wouldn't it? Well, they said, these people, the Dogons, said that their knowledge came from amphibian extraterrestrials who lived on a planet attached to Sirius B and who had landed in the Persian Gulf at the dawn of civilization, and that these extraterrestrial beings appear in drawings and legend in ancient Babylonia, Egypt, and Greece. Don't you just love stories like that? The Aboriginal people in Australia have a cave where they drew the actual star system that they said they originated from. Fascinating stuff. There's a lot going on that we just have never, ever been able to know or understand. And it's always sad to me when people will thumb their nose at what they call primitive cultures without listening to them first to find out what is it that makes them primitive. You know, so many times there are things that these cultures had that were so wonderful. And I look many times at the arrogance and the unwillingness of people, and it happens even today, to be willing to learn, to be willing to listen, to be willing to find out about a culture. We don't necessarily have to agree with all of it, but if we don't take the time to listen, how much are we going to miss? the Dogons. And that is recorded. That is definitely on file. So anyway, just a little bit of trivia for you. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And if you've got that entrepreneurial spirit, keep that flame burning. We need you. We need your uniqueness because you have something that adds a light to the world on so many levels. Keep it burning and let it get brighter and brighter. We need as much of it as we can get in today's activities. Donna Sebo here, tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.